Dr. Pinsky dictating a female IME on January 21 regarding Cornelia, C-O-R-N-E-L-I-A, Del, D-E-L, Val, V-A-L-L-E. As you know, I previously evaluated Mr. Del Val as described in the numerous reports listed above. Period. Ms. Del Val has filed a series of claim petitions going back to 325, 17, and 1129, 10. I previously evaluated her on 1228, 20 relative to the one of the current subject claims of 325, 17. Period. She is now a 54-year-old woman who, again, reports she injured her left shoulder at work sometime in 2020. Period. She did not provide a mechanism of injury, but believes she injured her left shoulder. Period. She was seen at the emergency room in Vineland. Period. She had further evaluation and treatment, including surgery in November 2020. Period. She has completed a course of active treatment. Period. The paragraph, we were able to obtain a copy of a CAT scan report of her left shoulder dated 5-6-21. That was compared to a CAT scan from 9-22-20. Period. Put this in bold. Insert those results here. Period. As per her claim petitions, she alleged on 11-30-19, she was moving a big chair injured her left shoulder and neck. Period. In another claim, she alleged on 3/25/17, she was pulling a mattress back and injured her left shoulder, resulting in a rotator cuff tear. Period. She also filed an amended claim petition relative to an event of 8/28/19. Period. She again alleged pulling a mattress back, injuring her left shoulder and neck. Period. Neat paragraph. Treatment records show she participated in physical therapy on the dates described. Period. Neat paragraph. On 2/3/20, she was seen by Dr. Dwyer for left shoulder pain, whose onset was September 2019 and 11/30/19. At her last visit on 1/23/20, she received 5 trigger points and injections, which provided no relief. Period. She complained her shoulder was feeling worse since the injections. Period. She was complaining of pain through the shoulder into the left side of her neck. Period. She was starting therapy the following week and was working light duty. Period. He noted a surgical history that will be inserted here as marked. Period. Dr. Dwyer diagnosed scapulothoracic syndrome / strain, comma, trigger point, comma, and left shoulder pain. Period. He started her on diclofenac sodium gel. Period. Exam of the shoulder showed excellent strength and stability. Period. She had reduced left lateral rotation and palpable pain over the left rhomboid and trapezius musculature. Period. He referred her to their pain management team for takeover of treatment. Period. In paragraph on 2/17/20, she was seen in pain management consultation by Dr. Pulser. Period. He learned her pain stemmed from a work-related injury of 11/30/19 when she was pulling and lifting a heavy chair. Period. She also had a history of left shoulder pain from a 2017 injury that required 2 surgical interventions. Perucci claimed her most recent injury caused an exacerbation of her left shoulder pain. Period. She had no relief from the trigger point injections and only little improvement with physical therapy to date. Period. Dr. Pulser. Thought she predominantly was having shoulder pain. Apparently she does have a degree of neck pain as well as some vague numbness and tingling in the left arm. Apparently recommended an MRI of the cervical spine as the next step. Period. On 3/16/20 he wrote the MRI was mostly unremarkable. Period. He treated her regularly over the next several months. Period. As of 7/30/20, she did not have significant relief from a recent cervical epidural steroid injection. Period. He concluded that she may benefit from an orthopedic reevaluation. But in the meantime, she needed to return to work from a financial standpoint. Period authorized her to do so. Period. New paragraph on 7/9/20. She was seen at an urgent care center for surgical clearance. Period in 7/13/20, Dr. Pulser performed a cervical epidural steroid injection. Period. New paragraph, she returned to Dr. Dwyer on 8/17/20. Period. Since her last visit on 2/3/20, she was referred to Dr. Smith for left trapezius trigger point injections and scapulothoracic syndrome. Where she was then seen by Dr. Pulser, who rendered the treatment just described. Period. She was told she had bulging discs in her neck. Period. At that juncture, she was out of work. Period. He found left shoulder passive and active forward flexion to 175 degrees. Period. Active external rotation was better on the left than the right. Period. Strength was graded as excellent with resisted flexion and resisted external rotation. Period. She had negative speeds test. Period. He described the cervical spine MRI revealed possible spasm. Period. There was a very small or minimal posterior disc protrusion. At C4-5 and C6-7. Paired at C4-5, there was minimal cord deformity, but without significant stenosis. Paired there was no significant stenosis at C6-7. Paired she had mild disc bulging at C3-4 and C5-6, also without stenosis. Paired. At that juncture, he noted she had absolutely full range of motion of the shoulder in all planes, with normal strength in all planes. Period impingement signs were negative. Period, he did not think there was anything significant ongoing with respect to the shoulder. Period, it sounded as if she had plateaued from pain management. Period, he then recommended a functional capacity evaluation be performed. Period, on 9/28/20, he wrote this. Evaluation was not performed. Period. She had a CT arthrogram of the left shoulder on 9/22/20. Period. Dr. Dwyer referenced these results. Period. He concluded, the patient's referred pain is not characteristic for primary organic shoulder pathology. Pritchard's palpable tenderness over the trapezius. Well, this could be a secondary issue from resolved compensation. When he asked her to flex her shoulder, she does several 170 degrees with ease and rapidly. He concluded there was no other option other than to perform a re-arthroscopy. He reviewed the CT arthrogram himself and did not see the large partial thickness articular-sided tear identified by the radiologist, but this is a CT arthrogram rather than an MRI arthrogram. He wrote, quote, that which can be fixed will be fixed, end quote. He reminded her he could not in any way assure the patient that the posterior shoulder pain will abate with the surgery. Nevertheless, they elected to pursue arthroscopic lysis of adhesions, possible revision acromioplasty, possible revision rotator cuff repair, bicep tenotomy with subpectoral bicep tenodesis and application of a collagen matrix graft. The paragraph. She was then seen orthopedically by Dr. Lipschultz on 8/31/20 for a need for treatment evaluation. He noted her history was significant for two prior left shoulder arthroscopies. The first was rotator cuff repair with labral repair, subacromial decompression and resection of distal clavicle by Dr. Dwyer on 6/6/17. Dr. Dwyer then performed another surgery on 10/3/17 involving capsular release for adhesive capsulitis. She related following those procedures she did well. She was also status post right shoulder arthroscopy by Dr. Dwyer. He was informed that she had injured her left shoulder and arm at work in 2019 in two different fashions. The first was in September 2019 when she was pulling on a mattress and developed left shoulder and arm pain. The second episode occurred on 11/30/19 when she was pulling on a chair in a patient's room and developed similar symptoms. He summarized her course of treatment to date. He performed an exam and wrote she did have a positive impingement sign with negative Hawkins sign. She had full range of motion of the cervical spine where Sperling's maneuver was negative. She had full left shoulder forward flexion but could only abduct to 130 degrees secondary to pain. She complained of diffuse tenderness around the posterior aspect of her left shoulder, as well as around the muscles on the medial border of the scapula. She had a positive tenels over the cubital tunnel and over the carpal tunnel, but negative over the thoracic outlet. He wrote she had two separate issues. The first is a potential cervical radiculopathy versus peripheral nerve entrapment. The second is intrinsic shoulder pathology. He recommended corticosteroid injection to the left shoulder subacromial space, after which an impingement test would be performed. He also recommended electrodiagnostic testing of the upper extremity. In the paragraph on 10/30/20, Dr. Skinner performed EMG/NCV to be inserted here. On 10/1/20, Dr. Lipschultz explained to her that shoulder pathology will not result in symptoms below the elbow. Brady therefore was concerned she had cervical radiculopathy or peripheral nerve entrapment. He wanted to review her electrodiagnostic testing before proceeding with surgery. Brady was able to do so on 10/20/20. Corticosteroid injection was administered. After waiting 15 to 20 minutes, she had marked improvement in her symptomatology and was able to abduct and forward flex fully. Period. Accordingly, he concluded she had impingement. Period. They discussed treatment options, including surgical intervention. Period. New paragraph 11.6.20. Dr. Lipschultz performed surgery to be inserted here. Period. She followed up with him postoperatively in conjunction with physical therapy. Period. As of Dr. Lipschultz's last visit on 7.8.21, she had almost full range of motion and decent strength. Period. She still had some discomfort. But at that point, she decided she was just going to live with any residual discomfort. But he explained to her the expectation that she was going to continue to improve over the next 4 to 5 months. But interestingly, she presented on that date in a wheeled walker. But she stated she injured her left knee at the breach and was in a brace. But he deemed she had reached maximum medical improvement relative to the subject injury. Period. Also interesting, on 6.3.21, she related she had been let go from employment and had no job to go back to. Period. He had already cleared her to return to work in a full duty capacity. Period. Physical exam. Extremities upper. Inspection revealed excessive adipose tissue with no overt swelling, atrophy, or effusions. Period. There were several portal scars about the left shoulder and some faint portal scars about the right posteriorly. Period. Left shoulder internal rotation was to 65 degrees, but was otherwise full in all independent spheres without crepitus. Period. Combined active extension with internal rotation was minimally limited to T11. Period. Motion of the right shoulder, both elbows, wrists, and fingers was full in all planes without crepitus, tenderness, trigger, or locking. And shoulder maneuvers are normal. Extremities lower, she remained in her leggings. Period. She states she had a left knee ACL and meniscal repair about 3 months ago after injuring it on the beach. There was no visualization of the lower extremities performed. Period. Spine cervical. Normal thoracic. She was tender overlying the left scapula, but there was none on the right. And in the lumbar section, we're just going to delete the supine straight leg raising maneuvers. Impressions. Cornelia Del Valle alleges to have injured herself in a series of work-related injuries. For the current subject events are on 3/25/17, 8/28/19, and 11/30/19. Period. Two of my prior reports were done in connection with the 3/25/17 alleged injury. And put this in bold, I will insert the relevant components of that report here. Period. New paragraph. Mr. Valley has complained of left shoulder and neck injuries on 8/28/19 and 11/30/19, superimposed upon the first injury to these areas on 3/25/17. Period. On 5/15/19, she was awarded 30% of partial total and applies for an increase. Period. New paragraph. Since that time, she was seen orthopedically by Dr. Dwyer. Period. She did not respond favorably to conservative care. Period. She had a second opinion evaluation with Dr. Lipschultz. Period. EMG was done on 10/13/20 to be inserted here. Period. She underwent two CAT scans studies of the left shoulder. Finally, surgery was done by Dr. Lipschultz on 11-6-20. She followed up with him postoperatively in conjunction with physical therapy through 7-8-21. He released her to full duty, but she had been let go from her job. New paragraph, the current examination found there to be a virtually full range of motion about the left shoulder. Provocative maneuvers there were negative. She had healed surgical scarring about both shoulders, more numerous on the left than on the right. She had full range of motion of the cervical, thoracic, and lumbosacral spines. New paragraph. My opinions relative to permanency at the cervical spine is the same as marked in the previous report. Put this and underlined. If I previously gave an assessment relative to the left shoulder, neck, or back, I will incorporate those as well. However, based upon the current examination, there does not appear to have been any increase in any permanency she may have received relative to the neck and back. Only left shoulder may have an increase in permanency. End.